All right, shalom everyone.
Shalom.
So we're going to finish this teaching today. We've already made it. We were going to do Sanhedrin 98a, but we're finishing with 98b. And then we'll kind of go from there. But we're towards the end of it here. We're going to pick up on page, again, 323. And this is the Koran Talmud Bavli, the Noe edition. And this is in Sanhedrin part 2. So, we've come across all of these things that the rabbis talked about will be signs when Messiah comes back. And really not necessarily signs to look for that he's coming back as much as when he comes back, these things will be going on. So I guess they kind of overlap a little bit, right? You know, it's kind of like if you talk about what are the signs that someone's having a birthday party? Well, you show up to their house and there's signs. I was going to say that, and there's balloons, and there's people outside hugging, and there's cakes coming and gifts coming, and then you have the party, right? So they're kind of connected, the signs about the party and the party itself. So the signs about Messiah coming back and Messiah coming back, they're connected. Amen? So we're going to pick up again on page 323, and we're going to read what Rabbi Abaye said. So it says, Rabbi Abaye said to Rabbah. Rabbah's another. All of these sages we bring up, I could take a service or 15 minutes at least and tell you about them. These are all very high-level sages who are coming together and they're discussing these things that have been recorded. Thank God they've been recorded. Or we would be in the dark about a whole lot of stuff, right? We don't want that. We like light to come upon the scriptures and the understanding of everything concerning the kingdom as much as we possibly can. Isn't that a wonderful thing, guys? So this is why when we read this together, I just pray that it just brings extra little puzzle pieces to you. And it brings just more clarity and maybe your windshield gets a little bit cleaner, right? Your eyeglasses are a little bit cleaner. You know, we have a joke about Therese during the winter. When we go, when we're leaving after Shabbat, and we say, okay, is it cold enough? Is it wet enough and rainy enough for Therese to pull out her squeegee to clean her windshield? So hopefully this cleans off our windshield so we can see. So with that in mind, Abaye said to Rabbah, what is the reason that you are so concerned? If we say it is due to the pains preceding and accompanying the coming of the Messiah, but isn't it taught in a Braita that Rabbi Elazar's students said, or asked Rabbi Elazar, what shall a person do to be spared when the pains preceding the coming of the Messiah? What shall a person do to be spared from these birth pains? So a couple things in there. So there's going to be birth pains, but what can someone do to be spared from it? You know a woman who's giving birth, and she's giving birth, and she says, hey, doctor, I know that there's birth pains. What can I do to be spared from them? You know, the doctor may say, I'll give you an epidural, right? Or I can just totally knock you out, right? Yeah. So we understand that there will be birth pains, but the idea, there's a couple of things here at work. They can be lessened. He didn't mention that here, but that's a whole other idea that's as part of this. But even the righteous, as they're going through them, can be spared from these things. I want you to consider that, guys, that we're going to see things come upon the world with people we may even know, but we'll be spared. Or we should pray that we're spared. We should pray that everyone who calls upon the name of Messiah shall be spared. We pray that everything that we have to go through, because we're not perfect, that Lord, at very least, sweeten them, hasten them. Growing up, I don't know if Natalie remembers this because this was a season growing up, but our parents would make us stand in line, pretty much, and come up and we would each get a teaspoon of cod liver oil.
I knew you were going to say that.
And You know, when I look back at it, it didn't bother me a whole lot, because one thing I did like about it was that kind of all of us were there. All of us were in this together. We're going to get, you know, and so that part of it was comforting. But then after we would get the cod liver oil, the next thing we would get is a teaspoon of sugar. So you can, and actually it's better than you think, sweetie, because it would sweeten. It helps the medicine go down. It would sweeten the misery of taking the medicine. So there's an idea in Judaism, right, of hamdakat dinin, a sweetening of the judgment. Yeah?
I was in the line.
Oh, you were in that same line, just down the street, down the few houses down the block.
It wasn't as long as your line.
Right, yeah. Yeah. Oh, because it's very good for you. Yeah, a ton of vitamins and minerals and different things. A and E and other things, I believe. Don't quote me, but it's very good for you. It always has been, and so.
Do you remember how long that went on?
I don't know. Maybe we had a bottle of it. When it was used up, we never got another one. I don't know.
We only got it during cold and flu season.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. During winter.
Ours was
yeah.
As a punishment.
Oh.
Well,
you know, we didn't get the, well, and see, you know, for us, I mean, we grew up eating seafood, so the taste of seafood, if you don't like it, well, it's one thing if you're used to that. That part of it doesn't bother you. I could do it now and not think about it. Stacy probably wouldn't come near me for weeks. But it's not as bad as it thinks. But the idea to some is like, oh my gosh, the whole proverbial teaspoon of cod liver oil that must be taken. But can it be sweetened? Hamtakat dinin. Can the judgment be sweetened? And we're going to talk about this word or idea of judgment. It comes up in the Brit Hadashah today, but I'm going to tell you what it means in the word that's used for it in Hebrew. You can get a totally different idea what God is talking about. So with that in mind, let's keep on going here. So again, he says, what shall a person do to be spared from the pains preceding the coming of the Messiah? Rabbi Elazar said to him, listen what they shall do. They shall engage in Torah study and acts of kindness in mitzvot. Abaye continued, as far as the master is concerned, isn't there the Torah and aren't there the acts of kindness that you performed? Rabbi said to him, I am concerned lest sin should cause me to suffer the pain despite the Torah study and good deeds in which I engage in accordance with the statement of Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, as Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, or Idi, raises the contradiction. It is written that God said to Jacob, and I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, Genesis 28:15, and it is written, and Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, Genesis 32:7. If God assured Jacob that he would keep him, why was he concerned? Wow. Yeah. God's going to protect you, but you still might have to fight, right? The guardian of the gates and doors of Israel neither sleeps nor does he slumber, but Israel still must fight. There you go. So if you have been taught or hear people that have been taught that, oh, you come to Messiah and everything is just rosy and, you know. And there's a lot of people who teach that, and they have totally disillusioned folks who realize, well, wait a minute, I can't pay my bills, I'm sick. You know, I've got problems, I've got a leaky roof and the electricity is out and I have no food. And I'm going through a divorce or somebody just died. All this stuff happens. And guess what? God is still good. He's still good to you. This is kind of the fallacy when people say, hey, look, I was walking down the street and I found a $100 bill. God blessed me with it. God is good. Well, for you to find that $100 bill means that somebody else lost it. So that's one thing. But it would be, even beside that part of it, for God to be good to you or bad to you, your idea of that based on whether or not you found this money. Yeah.
I'll tell you a funny story.
Mm-hmm. They had no right. It doesn't belong to them. No, no. But they didn't know who it was for. Yeah, I mean, if you see it fall out of someone's wallet and then you grab it and just turn around and take off, no, that's not the case. Yeah, I remember finding money like that, and you know. Well, let me say this real quick. Oh, go ahead, so you don't forget your thought. Oh, exactly. Exactly.
So good.
I know. And even so the poorest among us.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
We have it so good. You can't lose sight of that perspective.
And when I say the poorest among us, I'm talking about the homeless people you see begging on the street.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this idea before, you know, of, I mean, they can call 911, the police will come, or an ambulance will come, or there's places to go get food if they really want it. There's missions and churches and people like Harrison. I mean, there's a lot of, they can ask someone, hey, can you buy me a hamburger? I mean, you see a lot of overweight homeless folks too. You know, they're eating. You know, there are a lot of them are just either crazy or have psychological issues, or they're on drugs, or both. There's a lot of the whole, but. Well, yeah, so yeah, that's all. And that's the even sadder part of it, right? That America should be doing. Yeah.
They need to put it in perspective.
The whole thing.
That's how he sees it.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, you get yourself in trouble with God when you're complaining. And he'll say, really? You want to? Okay, let me show you what this really feels like. You know, it's like we have it so good.
Yes.
You know, and standing in front of my wood stove at home and thinking about people who are freezing on the street. You know, we're looking at our cat inside who is a little overweight, and she gets everything when we have feral cats outside who are literally looking through the sliding glass door at her inside the nice warm house by the fire, the wood stove. And we take care of them too, but it's a totally different deal. And these feral cats have it better than 99% or 95% of the world, right? So let me, since you brought this idea up about money, about 15 years ago, there was a time where we still buy and sell books, and we have different enterprises we're involved in, and I used to go to auctions and buy a lot of books at a time. I mean, there was one time we bought 80,000 books from a place, and we had 80,000 books we were going through. But in this particular day, it was an auction I hadn't been to much, and there was a guy there. He seemed like a real nice guy, and everyone liked him. He had a birthday last week, or 2 weeks ago, by the way. Texted him. And I didn't know anyone there, and so I bought this whole lot of books. It was probably maybe 500 or 2,000, I don't remember. But as I was going through them, basically if you want them, you keep them, and if not, they have recycling bins where they go to the paper mills. And hey, how's it going? He came over, was talking to me, nice guy, okay, you know, and he was saying, hey, you know, the books you don't want, can I go through them? I said, absolutely, you know, I don't want them, go right through them. And so I'm there and I'm going through books, and they're, for different reasons, which I don't want to get into, there's just, we don't sell, we throw them in the thing. So he went over to this big dumpster and he looked in and he reached in and he said, I don't think you want to get rid of this book. And so I kind of looked and he pulled out a book, had money sticking out of it. So I looked, and there were $20 bills all through the book. And then when I looked in there, I could see $20 bills in the bottom. So I jumped in, and I pulled all these $20 bills out. And so as soon as I saw it, I told him, I said, you know what? Wow. Thank you. So I didn't know this person. They could have grabbed him and just didn't say anything to me. And I said, you know, I'm going to split this with you. He said, oh, no, that's not necessary. So it was $400-some dollars. I just split it with him. And we've been friends ever since. And we didn't become friends because of that, but that also helped with our friendship all at the same time. He could have just taken them and gone. I could have said, oh, well, thank you for telling me that. I took all the money, put it in my pocket, and said, here, here's that book if you want it. I could have done that too. Right? Or I could have said, here, you know, you found me $400, here's 20. This is the kind of stuff, guys. This is musar, ethics, how you treat people. Think about it for a second before you just get greedy or, well, all of these things you can very easily walk in. Just like that. And then all of a sudden you can't take those moments back. And we all have better, we make better decisions. Sometimes we don't make. But if you always err on the side of generosity, never err on the side of stinginess. It'll get you nowhere. It'll get you nowhere. And I tell people this kind of stuff all the time. When you're generous and you help, God will show you things and do things in your life that you'll see. You'll recognize it straight from Him. When you're stingy, you put yourself in a position where you don't know what you're missing. And I don't mean just money. I mean just you're stingy with being nice and helping people. You're stingy with mitzvah. You're stingy with even smiling with someone. You're stingy with even stopping and opening the door to help somebody. All of these things. There's the old VeggieTales song, being selfish, it doesn't pay. I tried it just the other day. Being selfish, who doesn't pay? I tried, hang on a sec, just the other day. I wanted to be happy. I thought it was the way, but it weren't. So that's the whole song, but it weren't. Weren't, no, it weren't. And the other guy say, wasn't, no, it weren't. Well, being selfish, it doesn't pay. I tried it just the other day. I wanted to be happy. I thought that was the way, but it weren't. Yeah, go ahead, Joel. Yeah.
I'll have it, but I don't have it right now.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, I got a box of fruit in the back of the car. I want to go by the doctor's office and drop it off.
Mm-hmm.
It was later morning, and it's kind of a little breeze blowing.
Mm-hmm.
So as he got out of the car, there was a dollar bill on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Came back out here. There's a whole wad now by the door. Well, there was just one bill. Now there's a whole wad. And he opened it up, and it was $232.
Wow. Okay.
He went down to the Midnight Sport. He says, I found some money. I'm not going to tell you where. But he says, I want to give it back to whoever lost their payroll check. You know, that's what he thought.
Someone, yeah.
2 weeks, and nobody called me. He came home one day and he said, Mom, he says, I'll take care of your bills.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, I tried to give it back to somebody because I know that it's a lot of money for somebody. It was back in the 70s.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. It's a lot of money today. Yeah.
All cash.
There's halakha regarding that. There's a whole Torah portion and a whole lot of tractate that deals a lot of that. What do you do with a found property? You know, it's your obligation to try and even legally, you have 30 days. You've got legally with some things you got to put an ad in the paper for 30 days and nobody responds and it's yours. Pawn shops, there's a similar rule with them. I don't know if you guys watch, we like TV shows that are real life documentary. There's a show called Swamp, or it's called Axemen, and it goes through, it chronicles all these different people who cut down trees and whatnot. You guys ever watch that? There's a guy, he's a show that came out of that was called Swamp Loggers. And there's this one guy, he in the swamps in Louisiana, for hundreds of years, they would axe cut logs and they would float them down the river. They sink, and then they find trees that are 100 plus years old, that are old growth, that are worth hundreds or thousands of dollars kind of thing. So there was an episode I saw a couple weeks ago, and it was after one of the hurricanes came through. And everybody, I mean, all these fishing camps got destroyed and all this stuff, and all this stuff gets washed into the swamp. And so, you know, one guy lost everything. So they're out in a boat looking for stuff, looking for treasures, because all these people, the stuff just floated down. And they found an ATV, and they found all this stuff they took back, and they were all excited to take it back. Now, they could have just taken it and kept it, not said anything about it, but they went through the process of putting the ad in the paper for 30 days, say, hey, we found this, and if the owner doesn't claim in 30 days, it's theirs. That's the legal way to do it. So that's what they did. So halakha, Judaism, is all about wronging rights and keeping potential wrongs from never even happening. Even down to, I found a dollar bill somewhere in the community. Yeah, if I found money in here on the floor and I just didn't say anything to anybody, you know, it wouldn't be right for me to take it and put it in my pocket or to take it in the tzedakah box, right? It would be right to say, hey, did anybody lose a $20 bill? And everyone says, no, I didn't. I don't know. I didn't. No, I don't have a $20 bill on me. So I know it wasn't me, or no, I didn't. And nobody claims it. Then what? Then I'd probably just put it in the tzedakah box. I'm not going to take it. Yeah.
I just want to say that happened to me at one point in time. I found out, I don't remember, like 24 years or whatever. And, the person that lost it, I turned it in, and the person that lost it was saying thank you. But the other one I wanted to make, I told my daughter. Because initially I was excited. Look what else happened.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And I don't want to judge anybody yet. At the same time, when people kind of just expose themselves right there, you kind of see some things that you're like, man, that just, you know, I won't be losing money around you. Or if I lose money, then I'll be, I'll have to fight not to think, I wonder if they found and they didn't say anything about it. You know, then you see them come back. I lost a $100 bill last week at work on Friday. We come back to work Monday, and there's that person. They have this nice new pair of shoes on. I mean, so you look at the situations. It just lends itself to a direction you put people in by being dishonest and lacking integrity. And so with that in mind, we're going to pick up here. We're going to go ahead and stop for the day. Yeah. I know, but you see the time, I know. But it's okay, we'll pick up again next week. And so Shavuot Tov, blessings to everyone who's been listening, and you can listen again next week.